Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. It's Wednesday and we get to talk Texas dairy. Mike Scouten joins us from Mission Dairy. Hey, Mike, how you doing this week?
David, I'm doing wonderful. Out at Mission Dairy, we're getting ready to cut wheat silage and kind of pass over the dry land part of it. But wow. The irrigated wheat silage is looking pretty good out there, so we're setting up to make feed.
Yeah, that's it. Well, our sister station, News Channel 10, was out your way on Sunday. They ran into some baseball-size hail. Matter of fact, they're going to get back windshield and front windshield now because of that storm. Did you guys get any damage or any hard rain out of that this past weekend?
You know, directly at Mission Dairy, we got hard winds, but we did not get any of the hail. But I got to witness firsthand in Hereford some of the damage, as did News Channel 10. And it was amazing. Windshields busted out, signs shredded to pieces. Incredible.
It was amazing. I've never seen baseball-size hail. I've seen golf ball, and it was just breathtaking. So glad everything came out at Mission Dairy. Everybody's safe and sound, and we can keep working. And one of the best things we work on each week is we look at those blocks and barrels.
You bet. Midday Tuesday, we saw that block cheese closed at 234 and a three quarters per pound, unchanged, no lots traded. We saw that barrel cheese closed at 230 per pound, and that was unchanged with no lots traded. I think both blocks and barrels are trying to determine how to interpret the results from the global trade event that occurred. So over on the butter side, however, they did react. We saw that butter closed at 262 per pound, and that was down 4¾ cents per pound with three lots being traded. We saw that dry milk closed at 171, and that was down 4 cents with two lots being traded. And then finally, dry whey closed at 59.5 cents per pound, and there were no lots being traded there.
Now, you mentioned something about the global trading event just then in that report, and you've got some great information and comparisons on some pricing and some things we're looking at in the global trade market.
Yeah, it was a surprising report. We saw markets kind of fall off over in New Zealand as far as dairy products, but comparatively to the European prices, they fell off significantly, and they're within range of some of our U.S. prices. So we'll go into it. On skim milk powder, the global trade event traded at a 187, and that was down 6.5% from the last event 2 weeks ago, and that does compare to the 171 that we're seeing here in the U.S. Still plenty of room between their product and ours for us to be able to export powder to our main customer, Mexico, to the south of us.
Yeah.
But when you look at the comparison to the EU is still trading powder at $2, which means powder is a scarce commodity over at the EU, and of course, we've been talking about this for weeks, the input cost of feeds across the world, extremely high, so I imagine the production of powder has slowed down over in the EU as well. When we look at the whole milk powder over at the global trade event, it traded at 178 per pound, and that was down 7% from the last event. Cheddar cheese traded at 256 per pound, down 8.5% from the last event, and that does compare to the blocks that we have here in the U.S. at 234, so we still have that 22-cent margin of being able to trade on the cheddar. Over in the EU, they are trading cheddar at 264, so we have a 30-cent competition lead on them as far as pricing. Going over to butter, we're seeing that it is traded at 263 per pound over at the global trade event, and that is down 12.5%. And we did see a reaction from the CME on the global trade event looking at that pricing comparison. We here in the U.S., of course, traded butter at 262, mm-hmm. and that was off, I think, 4 cents as we spoke of earlier.
Yeah.
But butter in the EU is still trading at a 337, an extremely high price. So butter at a premium over in the EU, however, not so much over in New Zealand anymore. So it'll be interesting to watch to see how the markets react at the CME on the Class 3s through all of this pricing.
Yeah, coming down through the line. And that's is that a normal separation of that big of a difference between what New Zealand is doing and the EU compared to the U.S.?
You know, normally we do see that the U.S. is more of a the low-price provider in the world. However, the EU and global trade is typically very close in pricing. So to see that kind of disparity between those two means that there is becoming some type of market difference out there, and it could be have something to do with where the exports are going and which economies they're going to. It's very clear that New Zealand trades very heavily with China. As here in the U.S., we will trade way very heavily with China, but we won't sell them much cheese at all. So there's just various things to look at.
The factors that go into that. Now you talked about the class threes and fours. Let's dive into those today.
You bet. April trading at a 24.38. We've got the May, and this will be the last day for trading on the April.
Okay.
It was a five-week trading month. Mm-hmm. We've got the May trading at a 24.17 on the class threes, June trading at a 23.81. We've got the third quarter opening up in July at 23.58 and finishing up in September at 23 even. We've got the fourth quarter opening up in October at 23 even and finishing up in December at 22.02. And then moving into the first quarter of 2023 on the class threes, we're seeing it start off at a 21.07 and finish up at 20.11. Personally, I think that the first quarter is trading at a little bit lower number than it needs to be, especially with the cost of some of the inputs here in the U.S., but we'll be looking at that as we look at some of the dairy RP numbers later. Over on the class four side, not nearly the drop-off that we saw in the threes. We're seeing the April trade at a 25.30. We've got the May trading at a 24.45. We've got the June trading at a 24.15. Going into the third quarter, we're seeing July open up at a 24.38 and close in September at a 23.70. Going into the fourth quarter, we've got the October opening up at 23.70 and finishing up at a 22.82 in December. And then first quarter 2023, class four, opening up in January at 22 even and closing at 21.25 in March. So a little bit more cushion to the pricing over on the class four side as compared to the class three. And typically, David, when we get around to the month of June, then we start to see the class fours fall off. But that doesn't seem to be the case right now.
They seem pretty strong throughout this time of the period when they're normally you're seeing some downturn in that market. But they're staying pretty strong through this time this year.
Yeah, it does have a definite weight on the where the market is. I think that the fact that a lot of Class 4 is probably not being produced in the EU right now, just because of the fact that gas is so high and hard to get because of the Russian pipeline. So there'll be some varying factors that we can't possibly think about right now.
That puts into that. Now let's jump into the dairy RPs this week.
You bet. There's a few opportunities out there. We class three. We're seeing third quarter trade at 22.52 for 39 cents. We've got fourth quarter at a 21.56 for 47 cents, and then first quarter of 2023 class three trading a 20.05 for 54 cents. Don't see much value in that one, but I spoke to the class threes a little bit earlier on the CME. I just see them as being undervalued at this point.
Right.
We've got class four on the dairy RP trading quarter three at 23.04 for 42 cents. I see that to be a good bargain. Class four, fourth quarter, 22.12 for 56 cents. And then first quarter of 2023, class four trading a 20.52 for 64 cents. So definitely values to be looking at in that third quarter.
That's some news that you can use right there. Now, let me ask you this, Mike. Most ranch production is based on the business model where October is the new physical year. Right now where we stand at in May, can you project a little bit? Can you say either I'm going to have a decent year, I'm going to break even, I'm going to win? Are those numbers coming more into focus in your mind, in your dairy, as we head toward that last quarter stretch for this physical year?
You don't know. It's probably more difficult than it's ever been, David. When you see strong class three and class four pricing, you think, well, then it's going to be a really great year.
Yeah.
The incredible part of this is we're also looking at $8 corn and extremely, $550 soybean meal. So
yeah.
Those are things that weigh to the input side of it that just make it very difficult. And then you would weigh in as well some of the cost of transport of milk into its markets. I mean, if you're moving milk from the Hereford area into Houston, $5 diesel makes a heck of a difference compared to $3 diesel. So
yeah, that cuts into your profit a little bit if you're paying that much for diesel. And like you said, that's the word of 2022, input cost, because yeah. It affects every little aspect of what you do day-to-day down there in Mission.
It is one of those years where it's a little bit too early to call it right now.
They're too early to call it now. Well, Mike, as always, great information. Next week we'll come back. You got a preview of what we're going to talk about?
Yeah. We'll be visiting about the dairy products report from the month of March, as well as the exports for the month of March. And we'll probably talk a little bit about imports of butter and whatnot at the same time, because we have some of those price differentials. But yeah, there'll be a ton of information next week.
Oh, great. You always give us such great information, keeping us up to date. As always, Mike Scout, we appreciate everything you do for us here at KGNC.
Oh, thank you so much, David. I appreciate you.